welcome to another episode of Celluloid Citizens. As always, I'm Sean M. Thompson.
And I'm Charles. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, no problem. So, Charles, I have a question for you.
Yeah, buddy.
Okay. What if a bad giallo and a bad kung fu film had sex with a spirit Halloween?
Well, I don't know, Sean.
Well, I feel like you would get 2021's Malignant. Rated R, an hour and 51 minutes. I know it's directed by James Wan.
Sure is.
Written by Wan, Ingrid Bisou, and Akella Cooper. And starring Annabelle Wallace, Maddie Hassan, George Young, Nicole, Brianna something, and others.
Yeah.
It's certainly a movie.
This movie fucking whips ass. I love this movie, dude.
It entertained me. I don't know if I can say that I loved it, but it's definitely entertaining either way.
That's all you need, right?
Yeah. I mean, basically. I guess let's go through this chronologically. I don't think it would make sense to do it otherwise.
Yeah, film chronologically, not like storyline chronologically, because there's a lot of flashbacks and such.
Right. I would have a hard time actually figuring out what the order is on that. So we start with, I heard somebody describe this as basically Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
This fucking hospital is so cool looking for what it is, you know? It is beautiful.
It is really cool on the outside. Like, it made me think for some reason, like, is this a ride from a theme park that got made into a movie? Because, like, this hospital looks really cool for basically no reason.
the fucking intro flashback, if I'm remembering correctly, it's scientists just yelling at a child being like, it's time to cut the cancer out.
Yeah, more or less. It's like we start with, to establish it's the 90s, we have a little kind of video recording where this doctor's talking about, I don't know, the patient is.
Gabriel.
And then we cut to like this super fast paced, like, she's drinking the electricity and we gotta stop her. And like just people getting their arms cracked off and all sorts of shit.
Yeah, Gabriel's being a bad little boy.
He is, and then he starts talking through the radio.
As children do.
This happens.
To cut a little bit ahead, I love that Gabriel moves his mouth to talk, even though he's only talking through, like, radios and speakers because he doesn't have lungs connected to his mouth.
Right, yeah, I mean, he goes through the motions.
He's trying. I'm proud of him. He's doing good.
It's probably silly, but one of my things with this, I mean, I have a lot of things with this movie, but one of them was like, so I don't know if you could have your brain exposed and still be alive.
It's fine. It's trepanation's real. You just fold the skin back over when you're done. The thing with that is like Gabriel, yeah, it's easy to just throw sand at him and win, but no one has sand. So
yeah, I mean, we, after this completely batshit intro, and then we get a title sequence. So the thing about the score, I like the score.
Oh, yeah.
But it does make me laugh because it just sounds like a revamped version of the Saw score.
A little bit, but...
A little bit. It's got the same sort of like... I don't know.
Can we talk about the spooky, scary theme? The Gabriel's theme? Dark, dramatic music, as the subtitles put it. Can we talk about that for a second? Because... It made me real... Every time I heard that, I watch a lot of wrestling, so every time I heard that theme, I'm like, is Orange Cassidy here? This sounds like Where Is My Mind? Then I get to the fucking credits, and it is. It's a fucking revamp of Where Is My Mind by the Pixies. That's the spooky, scary theme of this movie.
Okay, because I was like, this sounds a lot like just the way they go, like, the weird kind of chanting?
Yeah.
Or like the...
Yeah, yeah.
So it really, okay,
it really
I'm
is
glad
that.
I'm not crazy, because I was like, this sounds a lot like that Pixies song.
No, that's a shoot. That's the Pixies, yeah. Sean, question for you. What song would you like to see as a creepy horror theme? If you have to think about
it,
I have
an
answer.
Revamp it?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a tough question, man.
I'll give you time to think. I've got an answer prepped. For me...
Well, what's your answer?
You ever hear Runaway by Kanye?
I don't think I
have. It's off My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, features Pusha T. The intro gives me, like, real Halloween vibes. And...
Okay.
I've been thinking, like, I would love to, like, relearn video editing, because I figured out how to do that in, like, eighth grade, so that I could, like, edit, like, a Halloween, like, fan video to that, and just show off, like, for all the kills of all the douchebags, assholes, and scumbags that Michael has killed, not to mention all the jerk-offs that I'll never take work off. Fucking hate those guys. The song, it's good, it'd work, I think. It'll be a good video. I think... It kind of lends itself to being a serial killer telling his favorite victim to get away up until the part where Ye talks about sending unsolicited dick pics to women. That is...
That's not cool, but...
This might be a hot take, Sean. You ever think Kanye might be kind of a bad person? I don't know if anyone's talked about this before.
Does that mean constantly? I had a thought the other day where I was reading about the Nicki Minaj thing where she's like, don't take the vaccine because it'll make your balls not
work. Big old balls.
And then I was thinking back on, like, didn't Lil Wayne try to, like, hook up with Trump, like, to be, like, his campaign kind of, like, go Trump? And he did. I know he did.
I think so. I'm not super up on Lil Wayne. And then I'm hearing
stuff about Drake, like, being into teenage girls. So I'm like, has Young Money always been terrible? And I just didn't see it.
The solution is just don't have heroes.
The answer is I like all of them as rappers, but I'm just like, y'all need to chill.
Yeah.
And yeah, Kanye, I don't know. He seems like he's going out of his way lately to, like, seem like a bad person.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is admittedly my favorite genre of Kanye song is where he talks about how shitty he is. Like, have you listened to Donda yet?
I've heard it's not amazing.
It's not. It's 2 hours. It's long. I think it's longer than Malignant.
Wow.
But Jail, like, I love the song Jail. Like, it's not the opening track, there's a little intro, but it's really the opening track.
Yeah.
It's Kanye, the entire song's about him talking about, like, oh, I'm kind of a bad person. Then Jay-Z comes in and is like, yeah, he is kind of a bad person. I told him to cut it out with the Trump shit, and he didn't listen, but whatever. There are a couple good songs on Donda.
Okay, at least they own up to it, I guess. I mean, Lil Wayne's never fucking owned up to it, so... Lil Wayne's just sort of like, let's hope nobody noticed that.
Yeah.
Like, couple of weeks.
Mm. So speaking of tangents, let's get into the post-opening credit stuff, I guess.
Well, I do want to... Okay, it's maybe not the best answer because I haven't had time to think about it.
Oh, fuck, I forgot I asked you a fucking question. I'm so sorry.
Midnight Sky by Miley Cyrus, I think you could maybe remix into something creepy.
I'm not familiar with that one.
I mean, the chorus is, the midnight sky is the road I'm taking, head high up in the cloud. I just feel like the midnight sky line is...
All right.
Although the song is basically just about, like, female sexual empowerment.
Sure.
So I don't know if the verses would work.
Sean, what is scarier to men than female sexual empowerment?
I guess that's true. Yeah, I mean, you could just slow it down, like, a lot. So it's like... You know, But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm just thinking, if there's that trend where there was all those songs that would get, like, turned into, like, slow, creepy acoustic sort of
covers.
Yeah,
Donnie Darko starred
and
that
put
shit,
into
huh?
a film trailer.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, Jordan Peele, obviously, is famous for it, too. Like, doing the Candyman, the Say My Name remix thing.
Oh, shit. Yeah, yeah.
And he had, I've got five on it for us. Which never really made sense, but it worked.
Yeah, I don't remember the trailer for Us, so I can't speak on that.
It's just that song, I've Got Five on it, but, like, spookified.
All right.
So it's just like, I've got five on it, like, that sort of a thing.
Okay.
And it works. I'll send you the remix when we're done with this. But yes, we spent like 10 minutes talking about fucking music.
My
so
bad.
Maybe let's get back to this. So this movie that I admittedly think is not great, but...
Okay. Well, agree to disagree.
Okay. All right. I don't know, though. Maybe I'll turn... I mean, it's definitely entertaining. You can't even deny
it. Yeah, it's the funniest fucking thing. It is so fucking funny.
I guess the real question is whether the humor is intentional or, like, unintentional.
I don't give a shit. Death of the author. Fuck it.
It really doesn't matter ultimately. But
if I think it's funny, it's funny, you know? Like, Evil Dead wasn't supposed to be funny, but it fucking was.
Yeah, but then I think they lean into it for Evil
Dead 2. Oh, yeah, and Army of Darkness for sure, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we're introduced to, I think the next scene is we're introduced to Madison, yeah. Right? In her creepy house.
Yeah, and her shitty husband. Yeah.
And she's got, like, the world's shittiest husband, played by Derek Mitchell. I guess this would be Jake. He's, like, comically bad. She's, like, pregnant, and he's just like, you suck. You can't have babies because they keep dying.
Yeah, not great.
As he's
great.
Like, get out of the way. I'm watching something.
Oh, he was on Supernatural, wasn't he?
Was he?
He was.
I mean, I probably.
Adam Milligan in 2009, 2010, and he was Michael in 2019 and 2020. So I don't know Supernatural. I was passing that to you. You're the Superman.
I kind of stopped after the sixth season.
All right.
I could ask my mom because she's like, She retired and like, it was funny. She went from being like, the show's so stupid. And then like within a year, she was like, I've seen all of them now. And I'm like, Mom, I haven't even seen all of them. There's like friggin' 300 or something.
Yeah, she has Skype. We can get her on right now.
She's probably busy. All right. But anyway... Also, I don't want to put her on the spot because, like, he probably is there for like 10 minutes, so she wouldn't remember anyway. Yeah. But yeah, so Madison, her shitty husband, it's established that she's pregnant.
Pregnant and had a bad day. She just wants to take a nap.
Right. And he's just being a total dick because that's his whole character.
He just wants to watch the big fight and hit his lady. So.
Yeah, he's all about, and he just. Wow, it is just, he really goes for it when he hits her. Like, he just, like, slams her into a wall.
Yeah. Not...
Just, like, pretty rough. Especially since she's pregnant.
Yeah, her head starts bleeding, which, you know, first time watching, it's like, oh no, that must have been a really hard hit. But, in hindsight, like, okay, that makes sense, though.
Right. I mean, it sort of makes sense. I don't know.
Within the logic of the film, it makes perfect sense.
I guess within the internal logic of the film, yes, it makes sense. So basically, you know, like, he leaves. She's, like, barricading the door with her body to try to keep him from going in. He does the whole, I'm so sorry. You know, whatever.
Yeah. Poor apology. Then, poor appeal. And it makes it very, it's very satisfying. I love a satisfying first murder in a horror movie, right? Because a lot of times, like, the people being murdered are innocent-ish, depending on how you feel about premarital sex, you know?
I think they're usually innocent, yeah.
But this guy, yeah, fucking fuck him. Has it coming.
Yeah, no, he totally, I mean, I do agree, it's very satisfying. We don't really see what happens to him, but, like, this kind of dark, shadowy figure jumps out and, like, jumps at him.
Yeah, turns his neck the wrong way, to be sure.
Oh, does he get his neck broken? I wasn't sure if he got stabbed or his neck broken.
His neck. It was both. His neck, I believe. Like, his neck looked super fucked up, and I rewatched this a little bit.
I rewatched certain scenes.
I rewatched it in the background, but with the descriptive audio on.
Okay.
And the way it's described in that, it sounds like he was leaning forward against the wall, but with his head turned the wrong way. I could have been misinterpreting that, but he got fucked up.
No, I think it was something like that. I mean, either way, he gets hella murdered.
Hella murdered.
And you don't feel bad because he's a man that beats pregnant women.
Yeah.
And also makes fun of her for, like, not being able to take a baby to term.
I don't think he's making fun
of
her.
By the way, this is skipping ahead a little bit, but oh my God, they really went for it with the, like, your tumor's been eating your fetuses. And it was just like, that's a line this movie had.
Yeah, no, this movie doesn't. It pulls no punches. And I respect that. And I love it. And I want to protect it.
Yeah, it really is. Like, what if your cancer grew arms? I don't know. But yeah, so Madison, you know, she wakes up, finds her husband dead. I should really start taking notes, but I don't.
Yeah, she finds the body,
Yeah.
In the way it's presented, The killer attacks her and leaves her unconscious. We know,
right,
shooting
yes.
back, that's not what happens, but for all we know at the time, yeah, she gets smacked by Gabriel.
Yeah.
So she ends up in the hospital next time we see her, right?
Right.
And her sister shows up in Disney outfit because she's an aspiring actress who has no real job. Well, no, that's unfair. Being a Disney princess is a real job.
She has
job.
A job, just it's, maybe not as the steadiest
It's
one.
Not the one she wants. She wants to be an actress. She doesn't want to be a theme park attraction, essentially.
I believe it was around this time that I think earlier Emily was making fun of the wig that Madison is wearing.
All right.
Which becomes, you know, it makes sense later on, obviously, why they'd have a wig, but I mean, at the time, I don't know, Emily's very hypercritical about wigs. I mean, for one, she knows about wigs, which is something I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't notice
about.
It was a wig. Does Emily watch, like, a lot of Drag Race? I noticed a lot of people who love Drag Race.
She watches a lot of Chinese dramas.
Okay, yeah, actually, you know what?
Which, I guess those are, like, the pinnacle of wigs.
You know, I watched a lot of Kung Fu flicks earlier this year, and yeah, they, in like, the Wuxia era films, you know, a lot of wigs. Because no one has that hair.
Yeah. I admittedly can't tell anymore. Like, I can tell a wig. I can't tell the difference between a good and a bad wig. But I do know that the wigs in Twilight are apparently very bad.
I also didn't notice that. I need to get on wig watch.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's some resources. But anyway, yes. So we're introduced to Sydney, who's Madison's sister, and they're in the hospital. I apologize. I watched this a week ago.
No worries. I'm a little fresher. At the hospital, she's interviewed by the detectives, Kikoa Shaw and Regina Moss.
Yes, okay.
And this is also where we learn the baby did not survive the attack.
Right, yes. Very heartbreaking, yeah. Very sad. In retrospect, it was probably eaten by her.
Oh, absolutely
tumor.
Eaten by the boy. Yes. Can we talk about the detectives for a minute?
One of them reminds me so much of Wanda Sykes. I don't know why. She just does. Could be the combination of the attitude and the hair. I don't know.
Yeah, who's to say? But they... I love them, even though they did not fit with the movie. Like, when they're on screen and, like, horror shit isn't happening, it felt like I was watching a procedural, like Law and Order or something.
Yeah, yeah.
They're quipping. They're having fun. They're shooting back and forth with their jibs and jabs. And it doesn't fit in with the previous scenes of, you know, going back, like the first flashback scene does not fit in. Because that's like a wild, like, oh, action shit's going down, cutting out the cancer.
Yeah, like that is overtly like Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
And that,
like,
it doesn't tie in. Like, it doesn't feel in the same movie as the next scene, which is a domestic,
like,
drama followed
like
by a murder.
It feels like they should pull back and reveal that it's a film inside the film kind of a thing, but then they never do.
I'm glad they didn't. Like,
I'm glad they didn't either, but it definitely played like almost a parody of like the film
little,
we were watching.
A little bit.
It's, like, hyper-stylized and, like, everything's just very, like, don't go in there! It's like, I have to. You know, my arm, yeah.
I love this movie, but I'll be the first to admit, the first 50 minutes, hour, until they get to, like, the home video footage of the birthday, drags.
Right.
It drags.
It does.
But,
and it's also that it's...
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I mean, my ultimate issue with this film is I have no idea what it was trying to be. I guess I know more by the end, but like, yeah, the first 45 minutes, especially, it's like, okay, it's like a, maybe like a haunted house or like a demonic possession sort of, that sort of a film.
Yeah. Like
but then it's like, oh, well, I guess it isn't, because we pull away from the house and we're showing, and then it's like, okay, it's more of like a thriller kind of but. Yeah, it's a lot of things.
I figured out
until it becomes what it is.
I figured out pretty quick that we were in a basket case situation. I assumed at first that it was more like a basket case, in that the evil twin was removed and thrown out.
Right. I thought it was something like that, or maybe just a split personality
thing. I was so glad that is not what happened. I love they just push the boy in the brain. Just push him in a little bit. It's fine.
Right. That's their solution. We can't get rid of all of it, so we just sort of push the rest in.
Just push it in and cover it.
It's probably fine.
Like, legit, there's a shot.
Yeah, that's brain surgery. They're like, yeah, just leave that little bit. It's fine.
No, there's a legit shot of them just kind of smushing it in. It's
just
so
smushing the rest of
good.
The little teratoma into her brain. Yes. And then they're just like, yeah, let's just seal it back up with super glue and we're good.
Until the prison scene later on, I'm skipping ahead. I'm not going to go into it. But until that scene,
which,
the first...
By the way, why? We'll get to it when we get to it. But I've seen this prison scene now twice. Yeah. It's amazing.
Best.
But why is there a woman dressed like she's from, like, straight out of, like, 70s funk soul land? And then there's another woman dressed like she just came from, like, a... Billy Ray Cyrus concert. I don't know. The costuming is sort of all over the place.
It sounds like you never spent a night in the pokey, Sean.
No, I have. It just didn't seem like everybody was dressed in Halloween costumes.
Let's call it
a
stylistic
choice. To be fair,
it was a
single cell that wasn't with other people. So maybe that is legit. I don't know.
Let's call this a stylistic choice.
It was definitely a stylistic choice.
But up until like the prison scene, the vibes I got from this movie were like, turn of the millennium horror, like late 90s, early 2000s,
yeah,
like 13
say,
ghost,
you know,
shit.
I had heard people before I watched this saying, oh, it seems like a giallo nod, or oh, it seems like maybe an 80s or 90s throwback. But I was like very early on, like, oh, this is like 2000s, like ghost house.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Oh, absolutely. The giallo stuff like definitely hits later, to be sure, and I'm sure going
later.
Back and watching it again, I will definitely get that vibe more. But the choices this movie makes, man,
it makes a lot of very deliberate choices. So okay, so let's see, we're in the hospital, learn that the baby died. Where do we go from there?
All right, Madison and Sydney are talking about. They're talking about the miscarriage, right? Talking about like
how
she's so devastated about it because she wants to know what it would be like to have a blood relation to somebody.
Which is sort of rude to tell your sister.
Yeah, hearing that from your sister is very jarring because Sydney didn't know Madison was adopted.
Oh, right. I forgot that too. She's just like, oh, right. Yeah, I was adopted.
Yeah. Yeah. Just... I get why they did it storytelling-wise. Like, you gotta let the audience know, and telling the sister at the same time makes sense. But in real life, that's kind of a fucked up lead-in, huh?
Yeah, I mean, like, you wait until you're in the hospital after a miscarriage and your husband's been killed to be like, oh yeah, I was adopted too.
Also,
did you not know that?
Also kind of sucks that Sydney had to learn that this is, like, her third miscarriage, like, from the cops.
Oh, right, yes.
Because, again, yeah. Shitty husband, like, kind of kept him apart.
Yeah, he was really terrible. You know, sometimes in films, it's like, okay, I understand why you're with him. He's violent, but sometimes he's okay. But this was like, there was nothing redeemable.
Seems like it. Again, we only see him for like 3 minutes before he gets murdered.
Right, but like, even when he's not being violent, he's just being an asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so no one's really sad he's dead. Except possibly Madison.
She seems 50-50 on it.
She's sort of ambivalent. She's like, oh darn.
Yeah, turns out, she did not, she was kind of looking to get away, and, hey, a murder is convenient. Which the cops also think that, like, they, obviously Madison's the suspect here.
As she should be, it turns out.
But I believe while she's in the hospital, maybe shortly after she gets out, there's another murder. It must be shortly after she gets out. It wouldn't make sense otherwise.
Yeah, I think so.
There's another incident. Jane Doe, as we'll call her until we get to the reveal, is a tour guide in the Seattle Underground, which I didn't know was a thing. They just built on top of Seattle to make New Seattle.
I never bothered. I mean, I'm sure that's real. I don't think you would. I don't think you'd be able to get away with that otherwise.
No. No, I mean, for all the leaps in logic that this film takes, especially in terms of science.
I don't think you could say, like, Boston was built on another Boston. Like, people would check and be like, that's not a thing.
Yeah, a brain tumor being your brother who can psychically control electronics and also take control of your body and make you double-jointed, I can buy that. I don't know enough about science. But if you're going to make up an underground city, you better have the receipts.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, it's okay. You know, it's like typical sort of like the lights go out and you hear something. So she turns the lights back on real quick and there's nothing. And it's sort of framed like the first 40 minutes of this is almost framed like it could be some sort of haunting or demon or something.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Madison even refers to Gabriel as the devil in some, like, flashback videos.
Yeah, and I guess I sort of get why they went for that, too, because, like, if you made it too obvious it was a flesh-and-blood person early on, be a lot easier, even easier than it already is, to be like, oh, it's some kind of split personality or a double or something.
Yeah. But, Jane...
But, yeah, that woman gets kidnapped and ends up...
in
somewhere with a fan.
Yeah, somewhere, maybe an attic. We don't know. Tied up while Gabriel, the killer, puts on the jacket and, of course, the giallo gloves. That's what should have tipped me off that this was some giallo shit, was the fucking leather gloves.
Yeah, but, I mean, the jacket, too, sort of fits with the gloves.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a interesting outfit, sort of like some sort of underworld type outfit.
Yeah, fighting some lichens and whatnot.
Yeah. Oh my god, how did I forget so much of this movie
already? Well, we got more murders going on. The Dr. Weaver, the lady from the intro, we're gonna cut the cancer lady.
Dr. Weaver.
She gets murdered by Gabriel and Madison sees it. Madison sees a vision of it while she's trying to do some laundry or something.
Right. And this, I mean, these are, you know, they're pretty cool. I can't hate. Like, it's sort of like the room sort of like melts and transmogrifies into the other room.
Yeah. But
it's a neat effect.
It's a neat effect, but that is the effect that most reminded me of a early turn of the millennium horror movie. Like, that effect put me headspace. So they go talk to the cops some more. As to be expected, they are a little bit skeptical of, hey, you've seen visions like this. Though I do love how insistent Sydney is that, oh yeah, police psychics, that's a real thing. I was on an episode of Law and Order once.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. It's no weirder than anything else in this movie.
No, I would have loved, honestly, for Malignant 2.
If they had thrown a psychic in as well, it would have
fit. No, Malignant 2's got to have a psychic, right? Like,
and they totally open it up for a Malignant 2.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I don't know how to feel about it, but yeah, skipping forward, you know, when we get a big reveal, certain someone is locked away. It's like, you won't be able to stop me. I'm like, oh, shit, you're going to do a second one, aren't you?
Yeah, no, I'm excited for it. I hope this is, look, Conjuring, they have three of them. Insidious, they got three of them. Annabelle's even got three of them. So this will be James Wan's new thing in between Aquaman movies.
I mean, why not?
Yeah, he gets his big studio picture and then his fucked up little cancer baby picture. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
I do, you know, I do legitimately appreciate, like, that this film, like, obviously I'm not the hugest fan of this film, and people hate on this film, though.
Feel bad for him.
But it's like, but it's also like, how many goddamn people are talking about this movie now, whether they liked it or hated it? I don't know. I feel like there's so many movies that just kind of are in the middle and they don't get talked about. But like, if you get something like this where it's like people either love it or hate it, like, I don't think I've seen like Insidious 2 or The Conjuring 3.
I might have, fine.
But I definitely know I've seen Malignant. Yeah.
And that's the thing, honestly, like, it's, aside from you obviously asking me to, you know, come on and do the episode. Like, I was saving right. this movie, and I was, like, kind of iffy on it. Like, it was, everything I heard from, like, horror people was real hit or miss. People loved it or they hated it. And they're like, oh, it's...
Well, I think it's also if people can appreciate, like, an action horror movie, which is, like, definitely a much smaller... There are, like, kind of... There are horror purists that think, like, horror should just be horror. Like, it should be, like, a haunted house. It should be creeping dread. There shouldn't be any, like, kung fu or, like, jumping off a building or anything. Yeah. Personally, I'm like, whatever. I like action movies. I like horror movies. Let's do it.
I feel the same. And honestly, like, those reviews did nothing for me. Like, people talking about that. It was a week later when all the fucking weirdos I follow on Twitter were talking about this movie. Talk about how it's the stupidest fucking movie ever made and they love it. That is what got me.
Right. Like, my favorites have been, like... This movie was absolutely awful and I loved it. And that was like, there's been a lot of that. And I was like, all right, I should probably check this out.
Yeah, that's what got me excited for this movie. Like, it didn't make me cry like Cats, but this may be my 2021 Cats.
Yeah, it could easily be, man. I mean, it really goes.
It really does.
Like, it doesn't, you know, you say what you want about it, but it doesn't. It doesn't do that sort of like pussyfooting around near the middle so it's not too over the top or too, you know, it just is what it is.
The last 45 minutes, my mouth was just open in like a fucking stuck grin at how like they just keep going for it. Like you think they can't be doing this and they fucking do. It's lovely.
Yeah, it really does. It is lovely. All right. So where were we? I think this is around when she gets home and starts, like, basically hammering planks over her windows.
I don't remember that.
Or do I have
I don't
that
remember
wrong?
That at all, actually. I could be wrong.
I think that's just, like, right when she gets... That's either...
I don't know.
It's either...
The first 45 minutes right, or so...
No, I think it's when her sister shows up at her house.
That could
so.
Be. The first 45 minutes, I don't remember nearly as well.
I mean, there's like a prolonged kind of montage-y thing of her like hammering planks of wood over the windows.
All right.
But that's it. There's nothing really else notable about it. And then the kind of gag is that her sister just like ends up climbing in through the
window.
That's
right. That's right. You're absolutely right. Yeah. No, you're right. That definitely does happen.
And yeah, I don't know. Like the first 45 minutes, I've just memory dumped. They're just like. They're just like, hey, you know, you're out of the hospital. I don't remember what else they talk about.
I don't know. But the cops are investigating. Now the scientist is dead, investigating, like, motive there. They find out, like...
Oh, and important to note, they notice that there's this, like, Surgeon of the Year award or something like that that has been broken. And a piece has been taken off of it.
Yes. You gotta love a distinct weapon for a killer.
It's true. And it's very, I mean, it is very
distinct. Fucking cool. It's a cool golden knife.
It is, and it fits with the, you know, medical theme. Because it's basically like the, I mean, I don't know. It's got like the original statue had like the little doctor, the medical snakes around it. But this is just a big old knife.
Yeah, Big Gabe fixes it.
That gets filed down as well.
Big Gabe does work well. It's got a little palm grip. It's great. Great for stabbing backwards behind your back.
Yeah, it is pretty funny that you look at the statue as soon as they show it and you're like, so that's just a knife that someone put in a statue. And you know the second they show it, you're like, yeah, okay. Yep, I know what's happening. And yet it doesn't make it any less cool.
I agree. I definitely agree. So the detectives are investigating. They find out about a case that is of interest, the Emily May case. Another scientist gets murdered. Madison sees that too.
That's the guy in the apartment, right? It's like a red bed.
Yes, he's the one in bed that we make the poster of. Yes.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, because Madison sees this too. She's in her sleep paralysis, like laying in bed with this guy and just watches Gabriel mount and stab his fucking head. The gore in this movie. Like, hey, we haven't talked about the gore in this movie.
He does. It's like very... I can't remember that well about like Insidious or Conjuring, but like this has some
cartoon ass gore.
Yeah, there's a lot of like arm snapping back the wrong way so bones pop out.
Yeah, like, okay, Insidious, those were all PG-13, I think. The Conjuring, they were all rated R, but they probably could have been PG-13. This is hard fucking R.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, the stabbings are so overkill. One of my favorite parts of this scene, by the way, is, you know, so we're doing the transition from her house and then she's laying next to this guy, but like she screams when she figures out she's laying next to this guy, and like, I don't know, it just made me laugh.
It's a natural reaction.
Because it's not like he's been murdered yet. She's just like, oh, gross. Like, I don't know.
Look, if you wake up in a...
No, I get it. Like, if you woke up laying next to someone that you had no idea who that was, you'd freak out. It's just funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, she watches him get the crap stabbed out of him.
At this point, detectives figure out, like, okay, this Emily May case, there's three doctors involved in it. Two of them are already dead. Oh, and also, we aged up the photo of the patient, and it's Madison.
Yes, I do love how they established that they have their resident artist. they're just like, do your thing. As if his whole thing is just, oh, right, yeah, I age everybody up. That's my entire job.
I mean, look, he's got one talent, and it's keeping him employed. I respect him for finding a line of work that gets him paid.
I blame movies for making me think there are a lot more sketch artists. Because as I have discovered researching, a lot of police departments don't have a sketch artist. They just have to hire somebody, I think.
That makes sense. And it does make sense to not have just that guy
on call.
Like,
there's so many news reports that are just super funny because clearly they didn't have a sketch artist, so they just had some regular officer do the picture. And then it's just like, what is this? It's like a smiley face. But yes, this is like immaculate, like, this is like photo quality image.
Yeah, it's just a photo of her, really. It's really just a photo of very good work that he did.
Madison.
He did great work.
It establishes, if for people that didn't figure it out by now, which I feel like that's a few people maybe, but yeah, it's 100% the missing person case. This is her. Or the May case, rather.
She is the child. So I think when they find out about that, they end up going to her mom, her adopted mom, Sydney's mom.
Right, yes.
And they sit, they ask about, like, hey, did I have any siblings or anything? If not, who's Gabriel? We find out that, as far as they know, Gabriel was her imaginary friend. When she was a kid, she would talk on the phone with him, and he's just a disturbing imaginary friend who, as far as the parents know, convinced the child to hold a knife over a pregnant mama.
Basically, yeah. I mean, I do like that they managed to keep this insano twist secret somehow. Because, like, at this point, you're like, oh, it's like an imaginary friend, but it's like a ghost that, like, personifies or something. Hmm. At this point, my guess was not she has a big tumor growing out of her brain that wants to kill
people. Yeah, I knew that the tumor was in her brain. I foolishly assumed that the doctors were able to excise it.
Right, that was something else I wondered about, too. Like, yeah, is it a basket case thing? Is it just the tumor still alive and somehow escaped the hospital type of thing?
Again, that's what I thought, too. There was a brief moment where I was like, wait, maybe Sydney is the tumor. I'm like, wait, no, we met her mom. That's impossible.
Right.
She would have known. She would have noticed.
You would hope so, at least, yeah. So they start watching, I believe this is when they start watching a home movie, right? And it just shows Madison, like, at her birthday, and she has no friends, which is sad. But she's talking with Gabriel, like, while she's at the on this home video at this party. And yeah, then we discover that, you know, she basically got told by Gabriel to hold a knife. She thought she was going to be cutting a slice of cake because she wasn't allowed to have it, because there's like a big handprint in it, and they think she just did it to be a brat. So they don't let her have any cake. And then, yeah, later on, she thinks she's going to be cutting into a cake, but it turns out she's standing with this like large knife over her mother's pregnant belly. Yeah, and to be fair,
her mom handles it so well. Like, that is the mark of a good mom. She doesn't, like, she freaks out, but not like in the wrong way, you know? She de-escalates very well, considering her child is holding a knife over her.
You know, admittedly, it's so hard to remember the first hour of this movie because it goes so nuts that that just sort of overpowers any memories of the rest. Oh, this is where it starts getting good.
I remember what's up.
Is this when...
This is when they get the hypnotherapist.
Right. I would be remiss. I mean, obviously, this movie, you know, like logic sort of out the window. But I do love in films and television how hypnotists are able to, like, they just say, like, I don't know, they say, like, a paragraph worth of words, and somebody's just, like, instantly under, and they're, like, open to hypnotic suggestion and basically having this really elaborate visual hallucination. I've been to a hypnotherapist. It doesn't really work like that. Honestly, what I appreciate
is that they skipped that part. They just went right into, okay, you're under.
That's true. They know, like, no one cares. Like, no one's going to think this is realistic anyway.
Oh, I also loved that Sydney got so excited when they said, we're bringing in a hypnotherapist, because she's like, I fucking knew it, because she thinks that psychics and hypnotherapists are the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, the same thing. Yes,
this movie
rules.
It's so funny.
Yeah, I mean, Madison goes really nuts during the hypnosis session.
Yeah. I mean,
like, just outright screaming. You would think most hypnotherapists would be like, maybe let's not, because she seems like she's having a seizure.
Yeah, it does seem very, very bad. But it does lead into... Actually, no, hold on. I forgot. The next part is that Jane Doe manages to escape from where she's being bound.
Oh, yes.
And then falls through the ceiling into Madison's living room.
Right, which is pretty amazing. I can't even
It turns out, in the attic the whole time.
She was just in the attic the whole time. It's a pretty great reveal, because it's like they frame it in such a way that you think, like, it's probably somewhere underground or near the site. But no, it's just the attic seemed like, of the house.
It seemed like it could have been the Seattle underground, right?
Right, yeah, especially with the fan. I think the fan is what does it, because I don't know, most attics don't have a big
rotating
fan.
They do not. So Madison gets arrested, and Sydney goes to the whip-ass hospital to try and...
And I do remember they use the...
Oh, yeah, that's the big... That's the big scene for that song, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, the only, like, you know, if they had gone into the lyrics, I wouldn't know, but they never do that. It's just sort of a remix, so.
No.
So she gets arrested, obviously, because they're like, your mom just fell through
the attic. Your biological mother, this missing woman. And we get the, you know, police interrogation scene where, you know, Gabriel calls the cops while she's in there.
He does. I still don't know how he does it.
He's got electricity powers.
I don't know. And yeah, he calls them.
Just being threatening serial killer, like, oh, she didn't even know I was nesting. Nesting is a weird choice. Nesting in her attic.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty obvious one. I should have known from the goddamn name, though. It is called Malignant.
Yeah. I mean, that.
I mean, I guess I just assumed they were going off of, like, Insidious, you know. But it turns out to be much more literal.
And again, like, I caught on to that. I figured it was a cancer baby was the villain.
I mean, they do have a cancer line, so I thought, okay, maybe it's a, like, some sort of weird thing that grew off her body. They cut. Right, I figured same, they cut same. It off, though.
But you can't. You just got to push the baby in.
You just got to push it back in the head, yeah, and then, you know, tape so, up yeah, well, the skull.
While she's sitting and holding, with, as you mentioned, a cast of characters. Sydney goes to the abandoned hospital. It seems like a long drive there, but like a 10-minute drive back to watch the tapes.
Yeah. It is sort of funny how that works. Yeah. It's like this big establishing so we can get the hospital. And then when she figures out what she knows, she's just like instantly back with whoever. It's like,
nothing
okay,
weird going on in the hospital. No problems finding or getting the records. No creepy people. No like ex-patients living there. Nothing to get in the way.
No, it's just an abandoned hospital and she finds some tapes.
Like, almost immediately is able to, like, find what she needs. The record keeping was very, exceptionally good at this hospital, I guess.
Yeah, it is. It's still also got electricity, which is convenient.
I mean, they can't just, like, electric companies won't just cut off the power if you don't pay the bills.
No, I mean, they'll just leave it going indefinitely. What was this? 94. The opening's what, 94?
So 27 years.
So 27 years they left the power on? Whatever.
So.
So she, I don't fucking remember what is on the, I think it's just recordings
of her mother, right? Recordings of her. So it's revealed that her.
It's Madison.
It's revealed like the mother, like. Was 15, victim of rape, decided to give up the baby to the scientists because she wasn't getting any help at home. And there's tapes of, you know, Madison or Emily at the time being just scared and sad, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old. Scientists have to reassure her, like, yeah, we sedated Gabriel. He won't hear you. Just tell us what happened. Talking about like, yeah, Gabriel convinced her to like do some violence on another kid. And they're like, okay, we're going to wake Gabriel up now. They pan out a little bit. Scientist goes behind Emily, shoots a shot into the back of her head, and the camera pans, and we see Gabriel in all his glory as...
This little T-Rex
it's
arms.
Seriously, it's a basket case situation. He is a conjoined cancer twin. Like, he is a teratoma, a cancerous mass of teeth and hair and whatnot. But it's part of her brain. And is a distinct, separate personality. And look, it's just a show. It doesn't have to make sense. We just got to live in this world where there's Gabriel the cancer boy, and he's there, he's real, and he loves us. Well, yeah.
He loves to kill us.
And honestly, I don't know, like, that's the thing for a sequel. Like, I think he got most of what he wanted. He just would need to go and kill Sydney's mom, and his own mom, and I think...
I mean, I would assume the sequel would just be kind of an all-purpose, you know, Gabriel somehow escapes, and then he's just, like, takes Madison just on another random killing spree.
It wasn't
Except,
random.
Yeah, the first one's
I don't
random,
see him as
I mean,
a random killer. He seems like a good boy.
Well, I mean, we'll see. So I think at some point we cut back to the prison cell. And, this is probably my favorite scene.
That and the
movie.
Cop fight. The cop fight's also very good.
All the fights, yeah, really. Because it's like everything else is just sort of like, it's sort of like a mediocre horror movie. But once they get into like the action sequences, it's just so insane. And obviously, it's
the backwards man. I
of
love
course.
It. It's, look, there's a chase earlier on where I think we skipped over this a little bit, where Gabriel kills the third doctor and the cop, Kakoa Shaw, shows up to fight, and we watch Gabriel run away. And at the time, I thought I was like, oh, this is so spooky and weird, like the way he's moving. I can't tell if this is just like bad CGI, again, putting me in the mind of a early 2000s, late 90s horror movie.
Yeah, because it looks like his limbs are moving the wrong way. Like he's grabbing stuff, but it looks like the elbows are going the wrong way.
I thought it was creepy
and
unnerving, but then it turns out, his limbs are just going the wrong way because he's a backwards man.
Just the backwards man. Yeah, like, you know, these women beat up Madison, and then, like, you know, little cancer boy wakes up and opens her skull.
It's so fucking cool.
And, fucking dislocates both of her arms. And we get some backwards kind of stompies to establish how, like, that's why it looks so weird, because she's basically walking backwards. And then she just proceeds to just kick
and
ass.
And honestly, like, as cool as all the Gabriel stuff was up until this point, everything from here on out is even better, because you see Madison's face the entire time. And that's so fucking funny to me. Because...
yeah, because she's just asleep,
basically.
Yeah,
and depending on the shot, it's either the actress who plays Madison acting with a Gabriel, like, prosthetic on the back of her head, under her wig, or...
Right.
It's an actor facing the other way with Gabriel prosthetic on his face... and Madison's face as a prosthetic on the back of the head. And either way, it fucking rules. It fucking rules, dude.
And it's, it's hella brutal. Like, there's no subtlety. Like, I think she just rips out this one black woman. She just rips out her throat. And then she just stomps someone's head into mush. What else?
I mix it maybe up with some of the cop stuff, but at some point grabs someone and breaks their arms like above the wrist, and you see on both arms the bone coming out of the forearms.
Yes. Yep. I think that's with the cops.
Oh,
she definitely breaks somebody's arm. She does I had to watch this twice. The little backward stompy, and then just sort of leans back to snap somebody's neck on the ground. And then we got the amazing line delivery from the blonde prisoner that I believe is the only one left at this point. Get the motherfucking girl.
Last one standing, to be sure.
Yeah. But no, because she gets
just
her
gouged
eyes.
Gouged out.
Like, she gets thumbs in her eyes, and then when the
human
cop
shield
comes
time,
to shoot... Madison, she just uses her as a human shield, and somehow this cop stays close enough to the bars that she just smacks his head and grabs the keys.
Yeah.
You would think seeing a whole prison cell full of dead women, you might not get, like, right up to the bars, but again, this is a film where you have to have the suspension of disbelief that a teratoma can, like, function autonomously.
I mean, yeah. Also, it wouldn't surprise me in real life for that to happen. Like, not the teratoma part, but the...
Oh, in terms of a cop,
but
yeah, I could see that actually
happening.
Cop
getting his keys ganked.
I'm sure it could happen, yeah, but she escapes.
Heads down to hold the evidence to get her jacket back and her knife back. Very important. I'm sorry. Gabriel goes to get his knife and his jacket back. Madison is not really...
Right, and we forgot to mention they have, this sort of made me laugh because it seemed like they stole it directly from Prodigal Son, but there's this ME that's like really excited about her job all the time, and she has like a not even low-key crush on
Keiko. Yeah, and that was
Keiko.
Actually Ingrid Bisou, who was one of the co-writers of this movie.
Oh, all right. That's cute. But yeah, so I was upset because she's one of the people I like the best in this movie. And I was like, damn,
she's
going to get killed.
She survived. She's going to be back for the sequel.
Indeed. But, oh my God. So yeah.
Up to cop fight now. Yeah.
Gabriel gets into
the bullpen, I believe is what it's called.
Station. And it just
another
kills everybody,
lovely,
basically.
Lovely fight scene with the, I watched it again with the descriptive audio. And at one point, it does confirm one of my suspicions that Gabriel deflects a bullet with the knife. According to the descriptive audio, that's a thing that happens. And then immediately after the narrator says that, I hear the cling of a bullet being deflected. Fucking perfect. Love this movie. They go for it.
Of course, yeah. I mean, he manages to dodge a shotgun blast at point blank range.
Yeah, I mean, that is really one of the things that I thought was like, oh, maybe there is something supernatural going on. Because in the fight with Kakoa earlier, he unloads a clip at Gabriel and seemingly no harm. I thought like, oh, maybe super healing from the cancer boy. Maybe it is a ghost. No, it's just Gabriel is a fucking superhero and dodges bullets.
Yeah, he's just really good at operating a backwards Madison, basically. And there's a lot of swooping, kind of like, there's a lot of spinning. Madison slash Gabriel does a lot of spinning.
Makes perfect sense. There's not a lot of thrust power in a backwards stab.
I guess that's true.
But if you spin with a knife, that works. Going. Just like a fucking spinning top with a knife? Perfect.
But yeah, there's a lot of stabbing through necks and like arms breaking and necks breaking.
There's also,
like grabbing somebody's gun to shoot somebody else.
There's a bit where Gabriel like crab walks, and that makes me laugh quite a bit.
Yes, there is. Some of my favorite scenes are what he does to Kakao. Like, he just uses a chair to, snatch his arm. And he either dislocates it or breaks it. I think he just dislocates it.
Yeah. Because he's able to get up and do stuff later.
And then with Regina, his partner...
Little tummy gun.
Just gets sliced in the stomach. And then as they're
just
running
eats
away...
eats the fucking chair.
He just hucks a chair at them from across the room.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Just perfect aim...
I just remember being like, you're not going to just huck it. Yep. Okay, you're just going to huck a chair.
And the grunt he makes, that, it's perfect. This movie's fantastic. I feel bad for people who hate this movie. I feel so bad for them because they're missing out. They're missing out on the delight. The delight of a little cancer boy walking backwards, throwing chairs, cutting throats, and doing kung fu kicks and parkouring down the side of a building. If what else could you want from cinema? If it's wrong to want that, then I don't think I like movies.
Yeah, I mean, I admittedly am not a huge fan of this, but like, as I've said now a bunch of times, no one can deny it's really entertaining. Like, whether it's good or bad is almost irrelevant.
I agree.
Because you get backwards
fighting.
Yes, you
get backwards fighting.
And it's also, I think, juxtaposed with like the first hour where you think James Wan is doing more of a kind of typical James Wan as of late, which is like some sort of haunted house thing or demons. And then instead it's just a batshit kung fu film.
I'm hesitant to call it a kung fu film. I'm hesitant to calling a fighting film. But
I guess I keep saying
it's got great fights.
It's got action elements. Let's say action film because it's not like the whole way through. Yeah,
this ain't quite Shaw Brothers.
Although if we got a full kung fu movie just with
honestly,
this,
like,
that would be
I
amazing.
Could see like this plot being a Shaw Brothers plot of like, hey, there's a backwards cancer fighter, and they got to take him down.
I mean, I feel like it would be wrong to not have the sequel just like 2 hours of backwards man fighting, basically.
You know, I would love to see that, but I'd also love to see them kind of step up the horror in the next one. Because as much as I love everything about this movie, it's the least scary horror movie
scary,
I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, definitely. There's nothing... There was maybe one possible jump scare that got me, but everything else is just like a crazy thrill
ride.
Yeah,
it's gore and it's fucking weird, but it's not scary.
No, no. Where the fuck were we?
Okay. Because what's her name comes thing, up right? from the evidence storage, gets medical people to come take care of Kakoa and Regina.
There is a pretty funny line where she's like, let me call the police. And she's like, wait, what am I doing? So yeah, she calls the paramedics. And then we cut to the hospital where Madison's, I keep wanting to call her Amanda for some reason. Where Madison's biological mother is in the hospital.
Yeah, she's just showing up. Her. And unfortunately, Gabriel is showing up too because he makes a man's pacemaker explode.
That's so fucking cool. Like,
there's two great premises here. One being the backwards fighting cancer man. And two being a psychic killer causing electronics to be creepy and weird. And they fucking nail both parts.
They do. His pacemaker just explodes. And then we cut to inside of the hospital room. And Madison fights, or Gabriel Sydney, fights. Sydney, like, tosses a traps her under a bed. I think
Kakoa shows up briefly, only to get a knife thrown through him. No.
Does he die?
I mean, okay.
But yes, he does. He does in very short.
Yeah,
order
like
get
we
dispatched.
Don't see him after that. I don't believe, but he didn't specifically die. He could come back for the sequel. No one's gonna be mad if he does.
Right. And then we get one of my other favorite parts of the movie, which is just
Gabriel winning.
Somehow Madison learns how to trick Gabriel by doing the same sort of Jedi mind tricks.
You're cutting too far ahead. I love the fact that, like, it seems like Gabriel just fucking wins. Like, he gets a gun and he shoots Sydney in the head. We watch her brains fucking splatter.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. He looks like he kills Sydney and then he kills, Madison's biological mom. We see the machine flatline.
But then, you know, like you said, Madison reveals, like, it was a trick. It's Maddie's trick.
Yes. Such choice lines of dialogue as, I can do your tricks now, or I know how to... Something like, I mean, whatever. The gist of it is she can, like... Yeah. Trick
he
his
puts
mind
him in baby.
And she puts him in
she
a
puts him in baby
little
prison.
Mental jail.
He knows he can't be free.
Yeah.
He hangs his head and pees.
Right, but he says, you won't be able to stop me. I'll escape someday. And she says, when you do,
it's
I'll
cheesy.
Be ready.
It's corny, Melina, but it does, too. Like, again, if a movie's going to evoke giallo, you gotta do the bad dialogue.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, I just don't feel like it was on purpose.
I don't know. James Wan did a Fast and Furious movie. I can give him the benefit of the doubt and say that these are intentional choices.
Maybe.
He's, through his Fast and Furious work, I think he's earned that from me. I think he's earned the benefit of the doubt.
This is maybe a controversial statement. I feel like he might be a better action director than a horror director.
I don't know. Furious 7 was great.
It's just, I mean, I guess the issue is we don't have enough to compare, you know? Like, if he had more than just the Fast and Furious
movie. Which is also very good.
Is that, I guess
definitely
that's a
is.
Sort of action, yeah.
Though it does have the horror element of the giant squid played by, oh boy. Who was the famous actress who played the squid monster in Aquaman, Sean? Do you remember?
Let me see.
Julie Andrews. It was Julie Andrews. Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, Julie Andrews is the voice of the Karathan, the fucking giant, mystical Leviathan Cthulhu monster.
Oh, okay. I mean, I hadn't seen it yet, but now I'm sort of like, do I have to actually
watch
Aquaman
honestly, it's
now?
Fun. It's a good, like, Saturday afternoon watch.
Okay, I might have to.
It's fun. It's got a great cast. Willem Dafoe knocks it out the park. Dolph Lundgren. Oh yeah,
Nicole
great
Kidman's
cast.
In this? Huh. Well, all right. Yeah. Fuck it. Oh, he did Furious. How many Fast and Furious movies did he do?
Yeah.
He only did 7? Okay. Yeah, now I'm just going through his filmography. He did Death Sentence. That was
I haven't seen Death Sentence,
movie.
But I've heard that. That's Kevin Bacon, right?
He also did Dead Silence, which is a weird.
Also haven't seen
movie.
It, but after seeing this, I'm going to give it a shot, you know? Like.
I mean, Dead Silence
is
Killer Puppets.
I love a puppet.
Or a Killer Puppet.
I grew
puppet.
Up on Goosebumps.
Which was honestly the only logical place
well,
for him
yeah.
to go after Saw. Because everybody went so nuts about the little jigsaw puppet that he clearly did not, you know, it's a cool design, but he clearly didn't put that much effort in. It's just like a throwaway, like, it's a little
you know,
puppet.
He does love making movies about a little man. The
Yeah, that's sort of his
He's got the little jigsaw.
Sort of his thing, yeah. Well, except for Aquaman.
There's
Aquaman's
little
enormous.
There's little seahorses, I think.
Ah, well, that's close
yeah,
enough.
No, James Wan loves a little man.
So this is the
yeah.
end, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean...
10 out of 10.
This movie, man. You know, I've already said this, but I have to go back into this. Like, whether you love it or hate it, like, I've seen so many people talking about this movie in ways that I just have not seen people talking about other movies lately.
Yeah, what's the last one you saw someone talking about like this? Was it Cats in 2019? Because I think it was Cats in 2019.
Man, I don't even... I guess it would be Cat. I mean, what was in 2020 that, like... I don't think there was really anything too... I've seen people talk about, like, reality shows, you know, like that weird one where people... dress up like animals and it's a dating show.
You know,
that was on Netflix. My sister was
I don't know
that
one
that
but all right
fuck I'll link it to you. It's and then like Tiger King was obviously big, but that was a documentary.
Yeah, but like movies, like what are movies nowadays? The answers are it's Cats and this. Those are the only good movies anymore.
Only ones, yeah. This has like the Apple quality to it, where like I don't think it's good, yet this will probably be like the first thing I show my sister if she hasn't seen it yet when I visit for the holidays.
That's fair.
Cause it's just like the perfect, like, you're sort of paying attention, but drinking and talking. But then it's like, wait, is that woman walking backwards?
Yeah,
and
you can get away
people?
With that for the you can
and
get away with that for the
yes.
first hour, but once it kicks in, you're glued to the set.
I mean, there is some primo chair work, like people getting hit with chairs, people getting arms dislocated by chairs. There's a lot of pratfalling.
Yeah, L.A. Park would be proud.
Well, maybe it's not a pratfall if it puts you in a hospital, but I don't know why, but it's so funny when Madison's, like, biological mother just falls through the ceiling.
Yeah, no.
I think because it's just, like, such a sort of, like, intense kind of hypnotist scene, and then just a body falls from the sky.
It really is. It's so unexpected. It's not what it caught me so off guard. This movie, like, people will talk about, like, yeah, it's just a giallo homage at the being a cancer baby. That's such a predictable thing. Do not tell me you saw the mom falling out of the ceiling coming like that. That's
no,
a shock.
No,
that's a
I
shock.
Did not. That legitimately got me. Cause I just really, They did, like, he filmed it in such a way you would not think that place had, like, a big
right,
attic either.
No. Well, actually, you know what? I take that back.
Or maybe it would, but you wouldn't assume there'd be a huge-ass fan.
I should have said something earlier. I don't remember a fan. I thought that was just, like, a big window.
I swear there's a fan, but now I have to double check.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, I found a YouTube video of making the Malignant Attic. No, you're right. It's a big fan. There's a big fan there. You're right.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, it stuck in my mind, just like, just the more the sound than the sight of it, just like the...
That is a giant fan. You are absolutely right. Yeah, that's so fucking weird to have that in an attic.
Yes, which is why I was like, wait, there's a giant fan in your attic just going? Okay. I mean, it looks like an industrial fan. That's all I'm saying. Like, you know, everybody has an industrial 10-foot tall fan in their attic. It just makes sense. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's fucking ridiculous, but I've seen this now, like, I'll say 1.5 times, because I went back today and watched, like, the fight scenes and the opening scene, which is still incredible. I do think it's very uneven.
I'll give you that. I'll give you
that. To say the least. But when it's on, it's, like, hard to look away.
The brilliance of the last 45 minutes, I think, is undeniable.
I think it makes up for the entire movie.
Undeniable.
Yeah. I don't have that much more to say other than it's on HBO Max right now. And,
it'll be there till like October 10th, and then it'll be gone until they bring it back.
Right, yeah. So I'm going to fast track this episode since I see people talking about this still. But yeah, this will probably be out by September 25th, hopefully. So yeah, you got another like a week and a half.
And I recommend you do. I really recommend you do. If you're on the fence about this, you're like, I don't know. I've heard you talk about the entire plot of this movie and I'm still on the fence. Fuck off. Go watch it. It's 2 hours long. What else are you doing? What else is so good in your fucking life that you have something else to do that isn't Malignant?
Charles thinks it's good and says you should watch it. I think it's bad, and I say you should watch it. So pretty much every angle, it leads to you watching this movie. And yeah, I think that's going to wrap it up. We're on Twitter at Celluloid Sits, anchor.fm/CelluloidSits. I've given up updating YouTube, but eventually I'll try to get more episodes up on there. I'm so behind now. I think we're on episode 53 or 4. And I'm up through, I think, episode 5 on season 2. Someday. Charles, do you have anything to promote?
Yeah, fucking go to fart.tomb.download. It's a webpage. It has links to my shit, my Letterboxd, my Twitter. Just watch me watch all the Jackass movies in real time on my Letterboxd. It's going to be great.
I do like those Jackass. When's the new one?
Next year, they had to delay it.
Ah, damn it. I mean, it should be entertaining. I do feel bad that, like, they're clearly all much older now. And they're still like, I'm going to destroy my body for your entertainment.
Like, I just watched Jackass 3 pretty recently, and that was still a little bit rough, and that was a decade ago.
Yeah. But in any case, yeah, go watch Malignant. This has been Celluloid Citizens.
I'm
Charles. Sean Thompson. And if you have a teratoma, remember, just tell them to push it. Just push it back in your head. All right, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, lean 115. That's good.